You're a fine girl.
Something like that.
What a good wife you would be.
Yep. You guys miss my I'm old joke.
That's the one. Sorry, we were busy having karaoke time.
Whoops. Doing your own thing.
Show's on.
Oh, whoops. There's Leanna Scolacci just singing her songs and doing her thing. You guys couldn't hear her probably, but she did.
Literally tricked me into a karaoke party and then started the music. Stinker.
Wow. Sorry, she says in her ears. She's not sorry. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Brizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense on this Friday.
That's right. I'm Ollie Wood. Welcome to Economics on Tap, as we like to call it on Friday. Hopefully you are joining us in the live stream on YouTube or the fan-created Discord. We see you. I'm actually over here on Slack about to fire up the YouTube and see what everybody's drinking. The Discord has like lots of pictures of beer cans, as you might imagine. Somebody's just having a good old Modelo, though. Love that.
What? The Modelo's a solid beer. Should I get on Discord? I should get on Discord and just check that out, right?
Definitely. It's what the kids are doing.
Okay.
And almost the subject of a whatever, like however many billion-dollar purchase attempt by Microsoft. So it's worth knowing.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah. Also, it's super fun.
All right.
Chocolate milk. Okay. Franz Panda in Central New York is having chocolate milk.
What?
She bolted.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a gutsy move.
Yep.
That's
no,
a very
I like
gutsy
it.
Move.
Sounds kind of delicious, actually. Soda water with mixed
what do you
berries.
Have?
I'm having a Batanga. This time I'm doing it the right way, like I'm supposed to. Just forget about last week where I made a Batanga in this cool new mug.
More on that coming up at the mid-show break. I'm going with the Hilai India Pale Ale, a beer recommended to me by my son, which is just very fun. Super fun when your kids can recommend beers to you. Especially kids who are of age. Anyway, that's a whole different thing.
I put too much salt on them. Especially, as opposed to them.
You know, especially.
When they're not supposed to.
No, definitely not the ones for whom you found the apple schnapps under the bed. But that's a whole different thing. We're going to do some news. Yeah, he doesn't listen to this podcast. We're going to do some news. We'll do a little half full, half empty, and then we will be on our merry way. Elapsed time will be something like 25-ish minutes, I would guess, just because.
We're just letting you know now, producers.
That's right. Okay. Why don't you go first, just because.
Okay. Here we are on the eve of Elon Musk being on Saturday Night Live. And so it seemed a good time, as everybody's going to be like, oh, Elon Musk is so funny or terrible. I don't really know. I saw a headline today that was like, he's probably going to be terrible. And then I saw a headline that was like, he might actually do this Mars thing. So I felt that it was a good time. And thank you to the actual news for making it a good time to remind you that that man is lying to us about all kinds of stuff, including, evidently, the capabilities of its advanced driver assist system known as Autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
And the timeline on which Tesla expects to get to fully autonomous cars. So Elon Musk said in January that the company was, quote, highly confident that it would achieve full autonomy in 2021. That is fully self-driving cars. And then evidently in a conversation with regulators in March, shortly after that, a Tesla engineer privately admitted that, Like the technology is not there. Elon's tweet said the California DMV in a memo about its March 9th conference call with Tesla representatives said, quote, Elon's tweet does not match engineering reality per CJ, which is the director of Autopilot software, CJ Moore. Tesla is at level 2. Currently. Now, on this level system, level 5 is fully autonomous. Level 2 is semi-automated, which requires supervision by a human driver. And this is relevant for lots of reasons, not least of which is Tesla's share prices, which, you know, this has been his whole promise for the future of the company, self-driving cars. Frankly, safety. Because, as we know, people keep getting in these fatal accidents far less often than they get in fatal accidents in fossil fuel-powered vehicles. However,
yeah, percentage-wise, per capita or whatever it is.
There's very strong argument to be made that everybody who drives one of these autopilot vehicles is basically a guinea pig in a real-time lab while they develop this software and pretend, frankly, that it's farther along than it is.
You know what I don't understand, of the many things I don't understand about Elon Musk, is why SpaceX, his other company, seems to be doing so well, and Tesla is so plagued by deceit and questionable accounting at best, just not good stuff. It's really kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
Is it easier to go to Mars than it is to build a self-driving car? I don't even know.
I wonder if there's just not more, way, way, way more regulation and oversight when you're talking about going to space. It's a government contract. You know, it's like you can say and do whatever you want about your private little car company. But if you are in a contract with NASA and you're going to send people to space, and I would also probably credit Gwynne Shotwell, the CEO
Gwynne Shotwell,
of SpaceX,
for sure,
with a lot of this, because
she's
amazing.
Yeah, she's.
But
tough.
I bet that there are just, you know, frankly, a lot more rules and a lot more regulation. And this is a case where regulators, I think, for a long time have let Tesla off the hook because we're, you know, it's like he's our guy. It's an American car maker.
Ooh, Elon,
of that is true.
Yay, those cars are so
all
sexy.
Of that is true.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yep.
I had a great conversation with my son this weekend, actually, because he's at exactly that age, 14, where nuance does not exist. Only things are only true or not true. They are true or not true. And so in his mind, what is true is that Elon Musk is the most evil man that ever lived. The kids are like, they think he's just the worst.
Oh
they
God.
Think he staged a coup in Guatemala and then he uses child labor. No, I mean, seriously, if you ask the TikTok kids like what they think about Elon Musk, like, whoa, super villain.
God.
And I was like, well, I think this is a really good teachable moment for you about how, like, a lot of times, a lot of things are true all at once and it's confusing. For example, Elon Musk genuinely laid the groundwork for electrification in this country in a way that will push us forward into renewable energy faster than we would have otherwise. And that is a net good for the planet. And
you bet.
He is awful. And both of those things... are totally
both of those things
true.
Are true. That's exactly right.
Just awful.
Are you gonna watch Saturday Night Live live, or are you gonna like DVR it and watch later?
I'm just gonna watch it on Twitter like I always do, like the clips or something.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I never actually sit there and watch it. Just like commercials. Ugh.
Oh, I know.
Are you going to? I don't know. I'm just not that interested.
Probably not. We'll watch it on DVR. I will watch it in the moment on Twitter just to see how many, you know, Dogecoin and whatever jokes he makes.
Oh, God. Just awful.
Yeah.
Both of those things. Yeah. So true. Anyway.
Yes.
There
all
you
right,
go.
So
that's what I got. How
that's
about you?
Here comes me. I direct your attention now to table A1 from the Bureau of Labor Statistics on the current employment situation report, which is, of course, the April jobs report that came out this morning. And I do this because I need to point out that two things. Number one, we were expecting 1 million new jobs. We didn't get that. We got 266,000 new jobs. Here's why that's important. All of those jobs went to men.
What? Again? You have got to be kidding me.
No.
Son of a biscuit.
I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. For the first time since January, we've had a good run, right, getting women back in the labor force after a horrible, horrible 2020, right?
Wow.
All the jobs went to men. And in point of fact, 65,000 more women in April, 14 months into this pandemic, left the American labor force. That's after 400,000 of them left the labor force in January. So the bleeding, as it were, has not stopped. Even though this economy is in recovery, and even though next month we could conceivably get actually 1 million jobs that we were expecting, women are still hurting.
Damn.
And that's all about, as Yellen said today from the Secretary of the Treasury, Yellen said today from the White House briefing room, right? She said, look, there are a lot of things going on. One of the big ones is childcare.
Yeah.
All the new jobs went to men. And I just
that
need
is,
to know that because it's craziness.
That's
isn't that wild?
Staggering. Like I had managed to miss all of that news today. And I was excited to be like, dude, what's wrong with economists? And how come they thought there were going to be a million jobs and there were only 266,000? But now that's all out the window. I don't even care about that anymore. What's wrong with everything?
Right.
What's wrong with everything?
Right.
Wow.
Crazy.
But
right?
Seriously, though,
isn't it?
I'm going to internalize that later with a lot more tequila. But in the meantime, I do want you to help me understand.
I just get sleepy when I have too much to drink. I don't know how you sit there and like have rage. I'm like, no, I want to go to bed, man.
It's my thing. It's my molten core. It's my fuel.
It's my molten core.
Just a white hot ball. Yeah. But seriously, though, like what happened with that jobs report? Why were economists there's going to be a million jobs? And
yeah, so here's what happened. In the areas where we thought we were going to gain jobs, we did. Hospitality and restaurants, we gained like 170-something thousand new jobs. But when you drill down, a lot of the lesser-known line items, we lost approaching six figures in jobs on many of those. My favorite is couriers and messengers. The courier and messenger industry lost 77,000 jobs last month. I don't know why. Nobody knows why yet. But you pile, 15 different sections of those into one jobs report and you get a 750,000 jobs miss. It is the biggest miss, by the way, since 1998.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
And that's what happened.
Big.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's huge. It's totally huge. Here's the other part, though. We need to remember how bad it was in March of last year and how quickly this economy fell off the table and how far back we have come. And the news today is, because look, 266,000 new jobs in any average month would be amazing. Everybody would be like, yeah, that's great. That's totally good. It basically just says we got whacked and it's going to be bumpy. And we could easily get a million new jobs next month. Easily.
Does labor shortage play into this, do you think? Like that,
yeah, I think a little bit.
Companies hired and couldn't find people to hire?
Well, so Euler did a great piece. Andy Euler did a great piece on Marketplace this afternoon about bars and restaurants in Texas. And he had a woman from the Texas Restaurant Association or something like that. 91% of restaurants in Texas cannot find people to fill their jobs, right? And there are a couple of things going on. Right. Number one, people are still afraid, legitimately so, right? Because it's still a scary situation out there, even though vaccines are coming out. Number two, there is some thought, I don't put a lot of stock in it, that generous unemployment benefits as a result of this pandemic are making people not work. Yellen says that's actually not true. And then finally, people are just still... To point number one, really leery about getting back out there again. It's still a little dicey. It's still a little dicey. And
who wants to fight with patrons about masks, as somebody just pointed out in the YouTube chat? Like it's
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you don't have, well, and I mean, yes. And childcare, even for men.
Yep.
It can be an
issue. Even for men who get all the jobs.
Wow. And I'm totally. Yeah.
Sorry.
So is it also a situation where I'm just going to stop asking questions about the data to a granular degree. I'm just wondering how many of the women who went back to the workforce then immediately left a month later because...
Oh, I don't know the end of that.
Yeah, no child care, which I wonder, Okay, well, that's a damn bummer.
It is. Yeah. It is. But look, I think it's important to know. And the whole reason we started this podcast was, pointing out items in the news that you might have missed. Okay, so we will take a very brief mid-show break here and do this, and Molly's going to hold up her awesome Batanga glass here, and we will point out that it is summer officially now. She's allowed to do this now as opposed to breaking
the
embargo.
Liquid.
It says liquid asset. Assets. It is the Marketplace Mason jar mug. It is available to you for $5 a month. Summer fundraising drive, obviously, is where we are. Make me smart. No. Marketplace.org/givesmart get you one of those for $5 a month. But there's more. There is more. And as soon as Molly finishes drinking, she's going
to
tell you
what the
more
is. I would just like to point out that unlike a regular mason jar, it has a handle. I'm just doing full van over here. I was like, $5?
Yeah.
There is actually much more. There are like 20 different things to choose from, but also, and this is the best,
this is
the
super
bonus
cool
gift It's so cool. Inspired by Grady Brandt, listener of this very show, is that you will also get the Stonk Tail recipe book. I'm not even making this up. And you know what it actually is?
It's so
you
cool.
So you can get it no matter what you give. If you do it during this drive, you will get a copy in either digital format for mobile or tablet. And believe me, it's beautiful. It's like cool graphic design. Or, guys,
so
zines
cool.
are back. You can get a printable, foldable zine. Like a little baby magazine with the Stonk Tail recipes in there. It's so good.
Are we behind the curve on zines are back, or are we setting the trend? That's what I want to know.
I mean, I had no clue that zines are back, and on my off time, I do a show called It's a Thing. Like, I try to keep track of stuff like this, and, like, I had no clue. No clue. Zines are, like, from the 90s. I mean, this is bananas.
Oh,
that's so awesome.
So,
anyway, no matter what you give, you will get the Stonk Tail recipes. There are mocktails. There are cocktails. My friend Sarah is in there with her, like, bananas, you know, habanero-infused whiskey Stonk Tail thing. Marketplace.org/givesmart. For $5 or more a month, you pick from all the gifts. No matter what, you get the Stonk Tail recipes. So good.
You're a winner. It's a cool little zine. It's super cool. All right.
So good.
Liana, hit it.
What?
Oh, there we go. All right. So this is, of course, Half Full, Half Empty, the part of the show where we give you our predictions on various topics. Drew Jostad, heartthrob of this podcast, is not with us today. Liana Squillace is on today. And you're in charge
just
from here
learned
on
a lot.
Molly and I are just a talent.
You set the bar really high there.
I know.
No pressure.
No pressure, Liana.
Okay.
All right, hit it. What do you got?
Okay. Are you half full or half empty on waiving COVID vaccine IP protection?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Good one.
So, yeah. So the Biden administration this week came out and said, we will go along with the WTO's negotiations on getting rid of IP protection on COVID-19 vaccines only. It's important to say that. In the interest of ending this pandemic. I'm half full. I'm beyond half full. It's a specific use case. It's to serve humanity. It is good for America's global image. And frankly, we should have done it 6 months ago.
Yeah, I really agree. I mean, in the case specifically, like we talked about, of Moderna and even Johnson & Johnson, like U.S. taxpayers put in.
Right.
A lot. Right. Like, we paid for those vaccines, and it's okay, I think, to release the IP in this case, knowing that, especially in the case of mRNA, there is going to be endless upside for pharmaceutical companies for future vaccines, and this truly does get the world back on track. Yeah, half full. All the way full.
100%.
Super full.
Yep. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, Liana, what's next?
Are you half full or half empty on Uber and Lyft backing away from autonomous cars?
a very timely
How appropriate.
Topic.
Because they don't work.
It's so hard. I remember you on this podcast 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, doing a whole riff on how hard it is.
Yep.
You know?
I was like, here are the 5 reasons. I'm ducking it right this second.
I can hear you ducking furiously. So
yeah,
I will vamp to fill time while you duck. Yeah. So the news story here is that Uber has sold off its self-driving division and everybody else is backing away because literally it's so bleeping hard.
It's so hard. Now, that is ultimately problematic for Uber and Lyft because they're long, much like Tesla keeps promising self-driving cars as it's like, you know, salvation in the future. The salvation ultimately for Uber and Lyft was self-driving cars because their biggest cost is drivers, which is why they're always trying so hard not to have to pay them. And self-driving cars would have gotten rid of that pesky problem. So it is a big deal for them to basically have to say, yeah, we're going to have to bear this cost in perpetuity. And stupid old Europe keeps saying they have to be employees. And Biden is like, well, maybe they might have to be employees. So in terms of them, it's a half empty, and I think it's just a more pile-on. So, yeah, in 2018, I wrote a piece called 5 Reasons for a Self-Driving Car Slowdown that was, like, the technology, the talent, because there's only, like, 5 people who know how to do this, the intellectual property and the lawsuits, which, yes, the safety, and the unintended consequences, and, like, all the destroyed jobs and all of that. But, frankly, that number one is still number one, the tech.
Yeah.
It's just
hard.
It's just really, really difficult. So, yeah, I guess that ended up as like a half empty on all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
All right.
Okay, next.
Are you half full or half empty on the Twitter tip jar?
Oh. Oh, yeah. So Twitter came out with this function this week that lets you, like, give people money? I don't even know. Yep.
Just straight up give people money.
Because everything is How do I get that?
That's what I thought, too. I was like, why didn't I get invited to this? They're rolling it out at first to, like, journalists and, you know, some power users. And it is, as other platforms have, just a way for people to give you money directly as a creator, because everything is content and everyone is a creator. I am super curious. This is the part we're going to get fired. I am super curious about what newsrooms are going to do.
So we should just do it and see what happens.
Is this ethical?
Honestly, they're not going to fire you and me. I'm telling you.
Well, also,
we should just do it.
But also, our brands predate. In my case, at least, my brand predates Marketplace, and you know, and yeah, yours is yours. Sure. It's just your name. I do think it's going to lead to a really, really interesting conversation for newsrooms. But I think generally it's okay. One tweet that made me think it's really half full and probably short lived was that someone said, you know, I just want to remind you that Twitter is the only social platform that still allows some nudity, and they take zero cut from the tip jar. And whereas something like OnlyFans, for example, takes a 20% cut. So all the OnlyFans people are going to come to Twitter, and then there's going to be so much naked that Twitter's probably going to shut the tip jar down. So long term, I'm half empty.
Oh man,
because porn.
I'm not. Okay, I'm not.
Internet,
I got nothing.
Is for porn.
Please let us move on.
Next,
are you half full or half empty on Game of Thrones: House of the Dragon?
Uh oh.
I don't know what that is. I will say I was very displeased with the last episode of that show. Loved the whole series until the last episode when they punted, which I kind of understand, but still. What are they doing?
It's a prequel. Like
I knew that was coming. Sorry. I knew that was coming. I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yeah, I've been under a rock, apparently. Yeah, super duper half full. That's going to be amazing. Star-studded cast of a prequel. And then, yeah, give me more. Give me more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Sweet. Good to know. 2022, looking up. Do we have anything else, or is that it?
2022. Boom. Boom. Look at that.
Amazing.
Rocking it.
Before we go, and this is amazing, real-time producing... Bridget Bodner says, I wanted to flag for you that the Musk coup tweet was about Bolivia. Do the TikTok kids think Guatemala or Bolivia? I think they do think Bolivia. I think that was my screw up. I want to correct that because the kids are upset about Guatemala and the U.S. staging a coup in Guatemala way back in the day that led to all this violence in Central America, but that the Elon Musk coup is specifically about Bolivia. Thank you. Thanks. That's what the TikTokers believe.
So sorry. The correction is we messed up our U.S. coups in Central and South America. Is that where we are?
Well, to be fair, one was a private coup and the other one was government. So, it's important to be precise.
I understand.
On the topic of our coups.
Accuracy is important. I get it. Absolutely.
Thank God for producers. Yes. No, they do. They do. My son appreciates you, Bridget. Whew. That's it for us today. We'll be back on Monday. I'm pretty sure. For now, keep sending your questions and your comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org. We appreciate you, too.
All right, we got out of another one without getting fired, at least as far as we know.
Just put the tip jar up. Just do it.
Right, you got to wonder if St. Paul listens. We're just saying. Does anybody listen? Anyway, Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Stephen Bion is our video producer. Our social media intern is Emily McCune. Erica Phillips does our newsletters. Also, those Make Me Smart explainers that you hear on those devices that are listening to everything you say in your house.
Today's program was engineered by our sassy co-star, Liana Sculacci. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Bridget Bodner was in charge today, thank goodness, and the executive director of On Demand is the Charney Evans.
You know what I think we ought to do? Next time you and I are out, like we were the first week of, like, what, April at the same time because of school vacation, we ought to have those two do it. Seriously, we ought to have Leona and Drew.
Leona and Drew. Oh, my God, that's such a good idea.
Right? Come on. I know.
I love that. Also, Bridget says, as usual, Marissa's doing all the work. Of course she is.
Of course.
She's a beast.
Of course she is.
Marissa's a beast.